You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Yeah! Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, December 12th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. What do you know? We made it to the weekend. All intact, I see. Everybody doing good out there? Great. Let's get this show rolling. Thanks for joining us here on 420radio.org. We're also back up on our TuneIn radio stream. If you are on the go, you can download the TuneIn radio app and then search for 420 radio within that. You can take us on your smartphone wherever you may go. We've also got a Shoutcast stream available if you're into those kind of web-enabled streaming players. And we just submitted the station to another website, internet-radio.com. I think they're out of the UK, trying to get more and more exposure for the great program we've got here on the 420 Radio Network. And today on the Russ Belville Show, we've got some great programming for you. Joining us is a good friend of the show, somebody I've looked up to in marijuana activism, not just because he has a triple alliterative name, but because he's a good guy and he's very dedicated to the cause of legalization. Rob Ryan, the president of Ohio Normal, will be joining us at 1:30 for a cannabis community chat. They've got an important bill going on in Ohio at their state house with regards to, well, something that happens in just about all the decrim states. We finally got rid of it in Oregon a couple of years ago, or maybe it was last year, driver's license suspension for marijuana possession. Even if it's decrim, even if it's just a ticket, even if you're not in your car, you can oftentimes get your driver's license suspended over marijuana. And that, of course, has all sorts of collateral consequences. We'll talk with Rob about that at 1:30. Also on the show today, Roscoe the Wonder Dog is keeping us safe upstairs here in the studio. Also on the show today, we've got time for a radical rant because Kevin Sabet is out there on, I guess, his campaign trail to keep marijuana legalized and keep throwing us in prison. He showed up in Georgia and I imagine was paid a hefty sum to do so. A video that's kind of sweeping the internet. He said a couple of things. One, that it's not true that no one's ever died from marijuana. He's right. You know, you could have a bale of it fall on you from a great height. That could kill you. And number two, that marijuana legalization is just all about the Benjamins, baby. It's all about the money. And we're going to take a look at that theme of framing and how unsuccessful that's going to be for Kevin Sabet when we get to the radical rant at the end of the show. Also on the show today, we're going to go behind the headlines. We've been talking all week about this Cromnibus bill that will embiggen us all. The Cromnibus bill has been passed by the House of Representatives, and we'll give you the latest update on what the fate of Initiative 71 is, the legalization initiative that was passed by 70% of the people of D.C., it may actually have some light despite the Cromnibus bill. So we will take a look at that. And in drug war data mining, drugabuse.gov has updated their infographics and brochures on drugged driving to include information about marijuana. We will debunk most of that when we get to the drug war data mine. But first, we've got our 420 radio news. And in the headlines today, of course, we've got to update you on the Cromnibus bill and President Obama's reaction to that bill. We've also got to look at the federal banking regulators that are stockpiling hundreds of suspicious activity reports that could mean doom to the cannabis industry should another president decide to take them up. We've got a group in Mississippi that's trying to legalize marijuana. That's right, Mississippi in 2016. A pro-gun group in Colorado trying to fight that restriction on concealed handguns for marijuana users, and the Kentucky Department of Agriculture looking for more applications for hemp farmers. We got all that coming up in the first hour, plus you guys and your calls in hour two. Stick around. It's the Russ Belville Show.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. Five of the last nine major party candidates to run for president, three of the last nine vice presidential candidates, and the last three two-term presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show. Hemp Beach TV, featuring Blazy and Max from the secret Hemp Beach in Florida. Replaying Fridays at 12 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, December 12, 2014. The U.S. House of Representatives approved a measure late Thursday night to defund the federal war on medical marijuana. If passed by the Senate and signed by President Obama, the provision would bring a halt to the three-year-long Medipot crackdown in California and other states. The Hinchey-Rohrabacher amendment to the $1.1 trillion Cromnibus spending bill blocks the use of Department of Justice funds to, quote, prevent medical marijuana states from implementing their own state laws that authorize the use, distribution, possession, or cultivation of medical marijuana, end quote. The vast majority of Americans, 78%, support states' rights to allow access to medical cannabis. The Cromnibus is expected to pass the Senate and be signed by the president. President Obama supports legalization of the recreational use of marijuana in the nation's capital as approved by D.C. voters in a November initiative, the White House says. But he also reluctantly supports and would sign a government funding bill that includes a rider blocking the measure, White House spokesman Josh Earnest said. Congressional negotiators have quietly tucked into a $1.1 trillion spending deal a provision prohibiting the district from spending money to enact the new policy. Quote, we do not believe that Congress should spend a lot of time interfering with the ability of citizens of the District of Columbia to make decisions related to how they should govern their community, end quote, Earnest told ABC's Jonathan Carl. But despite the concerns, quote, the president supports the passage of this compromise proposal and would sign it if it arrives on his desk, end quote. D.C. voters approved legalization by a 70% vote this November. The federal government is stockpiling hundreds of suspicious activity reports that could provide federal agents with sufficient evidence to shut down any state-legalized marijuana business. While it may appear that federal authorities have taken a wait-and-see approach to marijuana legalization in the 23 states that now allow medical or recreational use, these reports are poised like a blade over the budding industry should federal laws be enforced. The federal government has already collected more than 1,100 reports that implicate different cannabis companies in financial crimes nationwide. Some U.S. representatives from Colorado and other states have introduced legislation to federally legalize state-approved marijuana, or at least legalize the industry's access to banking. But those bills have not advanced, and state-approved marijuana businesses operate solely as a matter of federal discretion. That could change at any time. A group wanting to make weed legal in Mississippi could begin as early as next week to collect signatures to have an initiative on the November 2016 ballot seeking to legalize marijuana in the state. Mississippi for Cannabis filed a petition in late September with the Secretary of State's satellite office in Hernando, said petition organizer Kelly Jacobs, a longtime Democratic Party official from Hernando. It was the initial step in the ballot process. Petition organizers would have to collect the approximately 110,000 signatures needed to get the measure on the November 2016 ballot. Voters would then have to approve it for it to become law. Jacobs said the ballot initiative proposal would legalize cannabis for adults to own as much as they wish, to use as they wish, just like alcohol or cigarettes. However, it would have to be kept from minors. A pro-gun group is pushing a ballot initiative for 2015 that would allow users of marijuana to obtain a concealed handgun permit in Colorado. The current County Sheriffs of Colorado application for a concealed handgun permit asks applicants to answer whether they are, quote, an unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana or any depressant, stimulant, or narcotic drug or any other controlled substance, end quote. But the Colorado group Guns for Everyone wants to eliminate that provision, pointing out that with both medical and recreational marijuana legalization in Colorado, the question simply muddies the waters. The ballot initiative would amend the statute to state that a sheriff must issue a permit to an applicant who is, quote, not an unlawful user of or addicted to any controlled substance. It would then state that, quote, lawful use of marijuana shall not be cause for denying a permit to carry a concealed handgun, end quote. The Kentucky Department of Agriculture is taking applications for next year's industrial hemp pilot projects. Potential growers must apply by January 1st. Farmers who are chosen will be notified in late January. Hemp was grown in 2014 for the first time since it was outlawed decades ago, along with marijuana, which has far more of the high-inducing chemical, THC. Several research pilots were grown by universities, and a handful of farmers grew private plots. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, December 12, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance of Canada.
NORMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
Welcome back, everyone. 13 and a half after the hour. Time for us to go behind the headlines, where once again we're looking at the Cromnibus bill that just passed the U.S. House of Representatives late last night and contains within it a rider introduced by Representative Andy Harris, the Republican of Maryland, the medical doctor who thinks that marijuana is a gateway drug, who could not prevent decriminalization and didn't stop it in his own home state, but he's decided he wants to stop it for the 640,000 citizens of the District of Columbia, 70% of whom voted for legalization. The rider that was added says, quote, "None of the funds contained in this act may be used to enact any law, rule, or regulation to legalize or otherwise reduce penalties associated with the possession, use, or distribution of any Schedule I substance," end quote. And Hal Rogers, who's the Appropriations Committee chairman, the Republican from Kentucky, claims that this, quote, "prohibits both federal and local funds from being used to implement a referendum legalizing recreational marijuana use in the district," end quote. But that may not be the case. There was an earlier version of this rider that had a slightly different set of words attached to it. It didn't say it prohibited funds from being used to enact legislation. It said prohibiting funds to enact or carry out any legalization. And through negotiation, the Democrats managed to get the "or carry out" part taken out of the language. Now, this could be a significant victory because, according to Eleanor Holmes Norton, the delegate from Washington, D.C., and others who've looked at this language, they believe that Initiative 71 that legalized marijuana was enacted, quote, "when it was approved overwhelmingly by voters in November," end quote, according to Holmes Norton. "The initiative's elimination of penalties for specified marijuana-related activities is self-executing." In other words, what Harris is trying to prevent from happening has already happened. It has already been enacted, and perhaps in a sly political maneuver, the Democrats have managed to get the Republicans to cut out the words "or carry out" that would be so critical in this situation. Now, if "or carry out" was added in there, then they couldn't continue with the legalization they have. And the Democrats argued that that language, "carry out," would not only impact the legalization that had just passed, but also impact the decriminalization that had previously passed and the medical marijuana that had been in effect since 2010. And so in negotiations, Republicans backed away on that, not wanting to see as if they were going to cancel medical marijuana in D.C., something that's popular not in just in D.C., but all across the country. But in giving in on the "carry out" language, they may have allowed the current legalization that's already been enacted to stand. Now, there are some caveats in here. Of course, Congress still has a 30-day review period, and some people have asked, well, wait a minute, didn't it pass back in November? Hasn't it been 30 days? No, it's 30 days from when it gets transmitted from Washington, D.C. City Council to the Congress. And the 30 days have to be 30 working days of the Congress. And so there wasn't 30 days between the election and the end of this current Congress. So it has to be turned in at the beginning of the next Congress in January, which will be even greater control for the Republicans because they'll have the House and now they'll have the Senate. So this is going to get turned in. And the question is, well, is the turning in of this initiative to the Congress, is that an act of enacting it and therefore costing money and therefore prohibited? And the argument so far has been no, that there's a difference, that this is about whether or not it takes effect. Everything in the Home Rule Act has to do with Congress reviewing something and whether or not it shall be allowed to take effect. And in the Home Rule Act, it says that Congress has this 30-day period, or in some cases 60 days if it's like a security thing or something. But generally 30 days, the House and the Senate would have to write up a joint resolution disapproving this. And it's only happened like 3 times in 40 years, right? But they'd have to write up a thing that says, we disapprove this act, and then President Obama would have to sign it. And already President Obama has said, I don't appreciate us monkeying around in Washington, D.C.'s affairs. I'm paraphrasing. So it's unlikely he would sign it. But even if he did, according to the District of Columbia Home Rule Act, it says that when the president signs it, the resolution, quote, shall be deemed to have repealed. The initiative. Well, you can't repeal something that wasn't enacted, can you? So this review period that would lead to a repeal of Initiative 71 legalization kind of infers that, or kind of implies that it's already enacted, doesn't it? All right, so Initiative 71 being enacted would mean that they would have the legal right to possess up to 2 ounces of marijuana and to produce up to 3 flowering plants in their homes. But this rider would prevent Congress and D.C. from moving forward with any market legalization, so there wouldn't be commercial grows or pot shops. It would all be the grow your own, give and grow paradise that some think of. And that's something that it appears Congress will be able to have no effect over. And that Republicans in the coming Congress may not have enough political will to overturn, given that many Republicans are now starting to switch over on the issue of marijuana as a states' rights issue and a limited government issue. And perhaps maybe we ought to get some younger people interested in voting in this issue. Time will tell, but I think legalization's here to stay.
Hey, this is great, man.
Ha ha, Tommy Chong. You know, we had that story yesterday about Chong Star. It's going to be Chong Star brand going up against Marley Naturals. Is that it? Is that going to be the Coke and Pepsi of marijuana? Chong Star versus Marley Naturals. Well, I'll tell you what side I fall on. That's the Chong Star side, baby. Tommy Chong never dissed us. Tommy Chong always had our backs, man. Hey, it's 420 in Denver. Let's take a break and celebrate.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Electric Bob's Boogaloo, every Tuesday at 5 and 8 Pacific on 420radio.org. Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here for the Canador, a practical solution to keep herbs from drying. The Canador is the perfect airtight storage system for your fine herbs. From the half-inch thick walnut and cherry wood construction, clear-top perforated jars for storage, and the humidity bead system that keeps your herbs at a perfect 65% relative humidity. I keep all my herbs in the Canador, and you should too. Check out Canador.com for more information. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. 22 and a half after the hour. And one of the fun parts of my job is I get to peruse government websites that talk about marijuana and pick them apart when necessary. Today's example is drugabuse.gov, produced by the National Institute on Drug Abuse, NIDA. And you can find them at drugabuse.gov. And they produce a series of publications or things they call drug facts. And you can find these oftentimes in a pamphlet or brochure form, but today we're taking a look at the internet version, and this is their drug facts on drugged driving, and of course explaining how dangerous it is. Why is drugged driving hazardous? Because it messes up your brain and coordination. And then we get to how many people take drugs and drive, and it says according to the 2013 national survey, 9.9 million people 12 and older, or 3.8% of adolescents and adults, reported driving under the influence of illicit drugs during the year prior to being surveyed. This was lower than 2012, 3.9%, and 2002, 4.7%. So we've already got the indication that fewer people are driving under the influence of illicit drugs. And this has gone down, according to them, since 2002. Gone down by almost 20%, I'm estimating, since 2002. Now, what else happened since 2002? Oh, yes. Many states passed medical marijuana laws. The states that had medical marijuana laws began opening up dispensaries and more access to marijuana, and a couple of states legalized. Why is it that when we take a look at these kind of correlations, we never get any response from the drug abuse and the anti-marijuana people? But when it works the other direction, they can't stop talking about the correlations. They also point out in this that according to the survey data, young adults aged 18 to 25 are more likely to drive after taking drugs than any other age groups. Well, that's true of 18 to 25 year olds in the case they do a lot of stupid things. But the important part here is, how often does drug driving cause accidents? And I wanted to take a look at this point they made right here. Two things side by side. One, teens and drugged driving. Vehicle accidents are the leading cause of death among young people aged 16 to 19. Teens' relative lack of driving experience combined with the use of marijuana or other substances can be tragic. And then along the side here, what drugs contribute to accidents? After alcohol, THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, is the substance most commonly found in the blood of impaired drivers, fatally injured drivers, and motor vehicle crash victims. All right, full stop right there for a second. That's quite a jump there. We're talking, okay, the impaired drivers, the fatally injured drivers, okay, drivers, but then the motor vehicle crash victims? So, like, you got a van full of people that are pot smokers, and there's 10 of them in the van, and they get run into by a drunk driver. You got 10 marijuana-involved motor vehicle crash victims. It's not their fault they got run into. Just, and they're being high or having THC in their system, even if they weren't impaired, had nothing to do with it. They're sitting in a vehicle and got hit. But this other part I really wanted to talk about. Studies in several localities have found that approximately 4 to 14% of drivers who sustained injury or died in traffic accidents tested positive for THC. And they also combine that with the fact that 16 to 19-year-olds are the most dangerous. And let's also consider that 16 to 19-year-olds are the ones that will be the most likely to have used marijuana. When you look at the graph of how often people use pot, it's a bell curve that spikes right around 18, 19 years old, where people that age, between 20% are using monthly and about 33% are using annually. And since it stays in their system for so long, it's no surprise that we're going to find it in them. So if you combine the fact the people that use the pot most often, the people that are most likely to test positive for pot, are also the young people who have the worst driving accident statistics, it's no wonder that we find marijuana in many fatally injured drivers. It would be surprising if we didn't. What that doesn't show us is a correlation of driving getting worse. And if we take a look at the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration data for that age group of 16 to 20, it has plummeted from about 5,000 deaths a year in the 1990s to less than 3,000 deaths a year in 2012. And when you take a look at this in the states like Colorado and California, as they opened up their access to marijuana, those driving deaths plummeted. Perhaps young people are choosing marijuana over alcohol, which is far safer than and far safer for everyone else than drunk driving is.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about 7 people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Half past the hour, and we're going out to Ohio, where we're visiting with a good friend of the show, Rob Ryan, the president of Ohio Normal. Rob, welcome back, man.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fantastic, and always good to talk to you. How are things in Ohio?
Cold.
Cold. I know there's got to be a significant portion of the state excited about the college football playoffs, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, actually, Cincinnati is interesting on that score they were talking about the other day on the TV and talking about upgrading stadiums and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Now, folks, Ohio Normal, you can find out more about them on the web at ohionormal.org. And they've got chapters here in Akron, Kent, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Dayton, Columbus, Southeast Ohio, North Central, Youngstown, Toledo. I mean, man, you guys are growing, I guess, like a weed, should I say?
Absolutely. Absolutely like a weed. And I have a feeling there might be a Normal on every corner before the time is over.
Oh, man, that's really, really good news. All right, so give us an update, because I know there's important stuff going on in Ohio right now legislatively, and it's an aspect of being a decrim state that a lot of people don't think about. Tell them about it.
Well, actually, you know, for longest time, Ohio used to have the best marijuana laws in the country until states like Washington and Colorado came onto the scene, you know. I used to joke with some of my friends on the West Coast, and they'd say, you know, who's got the best marijuana laws? And they'd say, oh, you know, we do. We've got medical, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, what if you don't have medical? And they said, oh, that's not good. Then they asked me about Ohio. And it's a decrim state with 100 grams, and, you know, you can figure out how big that is.
About 3.5 ounces.
Yeah, that's about at least two handfuls.
At least two handfuls, there you go. Two handfuls.
Yeah, and it was a minor misdemeanor with $100 or $150 fine, depending on what kind of court you had. But over the years, they had these creeper laws come in. And, you know, it was at one time, this is one of our early efforts, was about gun possession, right? It used to be a high felony if you even had a minor misdemeanor pot ticket in your past. You were considered a mentally disabled person because you had a weapons under disability. And that was one of the low-hanging fruit that we went after. We went all to the Bill Goodman knife and gun shows and got them all riled up, and we kind of leveraged other people, really. And that law's gone. Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, so, you know, you try to make friends wherever you can. And then the next thing we went after was paraphernalia. Paraphernalia is weird. What is paraphernalia anyway? You know, it's a thought crime?
Yeah, really. But, it's an object that doesn't become illegal until you think of doing something illegal with it.
Yeah, really. That's why I think it's an apple. That's paraphernalia. Oh my God. Come on, give me a break. But anyway, that was they had this collateral sanctions law, and worked, I think, fairly well with my state senator. And we got the marijuana paraphernalia downgraded to the same level as the marijuana offense. It used to be, you know, pretty onerous here in Ohio as far as paraphernalia goes.
Yeah, you could have the pot, but you could have the pot, but you couldn't have anything to put it in.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. You know, and they did weird things like baggies and, you know, tissue paper, and, you know, if it's holding it, all sorts of weird things that some of the prosecutors used to come up with. But so that was another thing we went after. And now it's a non-arrestable offense. It's not legal, but it's, a non-arrestable offense at the same level as the pot possession at 100 grams. There's been some progress, not anywhere near some of our other states. Being a decrim for so long had its own challenges in getting people motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember going to, nearby Michigan where they did their medical marijuana, and they had an outstanding, absolutely outstanding volunteer support. You know, it still took money, but and I went up there for a forum afterwards, and one of the questions I asked is, how did you get such good outstanding support, you know, from volunteers and stuff? And you know, the basic message I came away with was Michigan's laws outside of, you know, some place like Ann Arbor was so bad, you know, joint was jail, you know. And so that, you know, having tough laws can be kind of, you know, a little bit helpful in this sense. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate to say that.
No, I get what you're saying. It's like the California dilemma, you know. It's such a good setup that a lot of people don't even think they want to rock the boat.
Right, exactly. Bingo. Oh, I'll take my pot ticket, you know, and I'll go on about my life.
Yeah.
But all these other things came up, you know, I just named two of them. But then there's the question about pain clinics. And one of the biggest ones was this driver's license suspension.
Yes. Now, I'm glad you're bringing this up, because this was an issue with Oregon's. Prior to our legalization, our decrim law had the 6-month driver's license suspension, and that was something we fought to remove and succeeded in. So I'm glad to hear of another state.
I remember that quite distinctly. I actually have a copy of the resolution that was passed. Maybe we want to tell people how that thing actually came out to be.
Yeah, go ahead.
You want to take that on, and I'll add in some details that you might miss?
You know, for me, it was a discussion I'd had with a normal legal committee attorney, Leland Berger, asking me, you know, hey, we're in a decrim state. What ideas do you have that we could go for short of, you know, legalization, stuff we might do at the legislative level? And one of the things I mentioned was the driver's license suspension. That seemed unfair if you weren't even in your car to take away your driver's license. And the other thing I had proposed was Oregon was the only state that went from an ounce is decrim over an ounce was a felony. I said, that's ridiculous. There ought to be a misdemeanor in there somewhere. And so we got a differing level of misdemeanor penalties.
And then again, you went from over an ounce was a felony?
Yeah. In Oregon, prior to 2013, if you had under an ounce, it was a ticket. If you had an over an ounce, it was felony. Yeah, it was crazy. And so we added decrim law, or we added some depenalization laws where between an ounce and a quarter pound now is a misdemeanor. But of course, all of that's now changed by Measure 91.
Sure, sure. And congratulations, by the way, on
Thank
that.
You.
I think that gives a lot of encouragement to other folks.
So this is the thing you're fighting now in Ohio, is the driver's license suspension.
Yeah, now let's get into the history in this. And this is particularly useful for people who still have those laws, because there's a great part of the country that still has them, particularly on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. The West Coast is generally green, so to speak.
Right.
But it actually came in, and this is where Republicans and Democrats really doesn't matter in this issue. It was in the 1992 Highway Transportation Bill that started all this nonsense, and it was a liberal Democrat from New Jersey by the name of Lautenberg who inserted this into the highway fund. And they essentially said, you know, if you don't put in this driver's license suspension, we're going to take away your highway fund. And a number of the states said, you know, whoa, you can't do that. We depend on our drivers. And so they inserted a kind of a compromise, an opt-out clause, mm-hmm. where the state legislature, and this is what you went through, and this is what we're going through right now, is the state legislator would have to say concur with a resolution saying they oppose the federal mandate. And the governor would sign it and send it off to the Secretary of Transportation, and then they could design their laws as they see fit concerning possession laws. And Oregon did it, and so did a lot of other states. Even our neighboring Kentucky did it. So I looked at this issue, and it affects a lot of people. It's unbelievable. I got the records from the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, and at any snapshot in time, it's around anywhere from 140 to 150,000 people in Ohio who have their license suspended just for a drug possession.
Wow.
Or some sort of drug offense.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, and of course the collateral consequence of not being able to make it to work and support your family and all that, times 150,000?
You got it right on the head there, Russ. You got it, and that's exactly what I said to the senators during the, I was asked to testify to this by the senator, and he said, you know, do you want me to come as Rob Reiner, or do you want me to come as Ohio Normal President? He says, you come as Ohio Normal President. Okay, and you know, sometimes it's an advantage to just testify as a Joe Blow citizen. But anyway, my message to the senators, and you know, this can be repeated in any other state, is you know, it's not whether or not you support marijuana reform or oppose it. This is about jobs.
Yeah.
This is about the economy. If the guy doesn't have a license, he's not going to get a job. And if he has a job, he's probably going to lose a job. You know? And, you know, particularly out in some of these rural parts of the state, you know, there's no public transportation.
Right.
So there's not really an alternative. So what do people do? They end up driving with suspended license. And then they get a deeper and deeper hole. You know, it's just unbelievable.
What does it look like politically for you in your state house as far as getting support for making a change here?
Well, it's surprisingly receptive, and especially, you know, Ohio is kind of a Republican state.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would stress that New Jersey, but in New Jersey, liberal Democrat, you know, in my testimony. And, you know, those kind of little charged words there in front of the Republican legislators, I think, did some good. But it really goes back to the basic message that this isn't about driving. Marijuana possession or even any kind of possession of any illicit substance has absolutely nothing to do with driving. You know, and that's the basic message. There's a young girl here in Cincinnati. She was canoeing, okay? And there was I'm not making this up. She was canoeing, and there was the ranger over on the banks with his binoculars watching them smoke, right? And, you know, they came ashore, and you know, she got busted, and so she lost her driver's license because she was smoking in a canoe.
Oh, man.
It's like, give me a break.
Yeah, yeah. And this, you know, this is going to affect a lot of people. So on the OhioNormal.org website, there's a post up right now that Rob has posted with links to the state House resolutions and Senate resolutions as far as doing some reform here, right?
Right. And actually a little bit of progression since that post went up. You know, things are always a little bit behind the date here. But they passed it in the Senate 27-5. And well, I'm going to keep a close eye on those five senators that voted against it, because this should have been a slam dunk. And on the House side, we have a split legislature, senators and representatives. And on the House side, it was 92-0.
Ooh.
Yeah, right. They got it.
So five legislators total in the state of Ohio think that you ought to lose your driver's license for smoking while canoeing.
And one of them's nearby, she's only actually a mile or a mile and a half away from my boundary. So very close, Shannon Jones. And I got, be seeing her Monday, actually. But I queried her, and it's like no answer yet on why she voted against this. You know, and this is where the liberal and the Democrat doesn't really mean much. I was at a little social function, and one of the most right-wing, pro-life, red meat kind of conservative legislator there is, okay, by the name of Becker. And he noticed my little marijuana leaf. I always wear the little gold leaf on my lapel. And he noticed that, and, you know, he wasn't too pleased about it. But I started talking about the driving license suspension, and he was right on the dime on our side. And, you know, here's this guy that you would think, hot, very religious, pro-life, you know, anti-drugs, you know, the whole bit. And here's this guy. He's on our side. And he was in the Transportation Committee, by the way.
That's great.
So that worked out well.
You know, I'm glad you bring that up, because I always encourage reformers, activists out there to think of your issue like a deck of cards. There's a lot of little cards you can play. And with a certain audience, you know, a conservative, someone like that, you find that card that's going to play for them. You don't play the racial justice card. You don't play the industrial hemp card. Maybe this guy's card is the driver's license thing. And that's a really cool way of looking at it, I think.
Yeah, well, this guy, what brought it over was when I talked about the federal mandate.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ain't no federal government going to tell us what to do here in Ohio.
That's right. Hell with those guys in D.C. They're not going to tell us what to do. So you're exactly right. You know, you can't have the same message to all folks. You know, some things play good in certain communities, and you wouldn't even mention it in a different set of circumstances or a different group of people, but you're right. And this, our issue has so many facets that you can pick one and find one.
All right. Well, I encourage everyone to get involved and find your local Normal chapter. You can find them at normal.org. Rob Ryan's the president of Ohio Normal. You can find them at ohionormal.org. Or are you guys the ohionormal.org? Is that how that works?
Well, you're right. And, we have a set of regional chapters. We're actually coming up on a board meeting. And, you know, this stuff that happened in D.C. this last night has some interesting tangents, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there'll be plenty to report on for a while on that.
Yeah, it is very interesting.
Native American legalization.
32 states?
Yeah, protection for Native American legalization, if they so choose, protection for the 23 medical states, the 11 CBD-only states, and the 19 hemp states.
Well, I love the wording on the medical marijuana, because they lump the CBDs and the medical all in one basket.
Yeah.
So, you know, these guys that will have these very, I'm going to step on somebody's toes, I'm sure, you know, these very poor CBD laws, you know, with a little extra push in a legislature, they could come full-fledged medical marijuana state.
Yeah, and there's no more argument for opponents to say, well, it's against federal law. Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah, the federals are going to come in and squash us. No, they're not.
No, they're not.
They have not. Yeah, and you know, I used to work for the government at one point in time, and I worked for government contracts, and when they say in the budget, you cannot spend dollars on this particular action, they take great pains not to spend any money at all on that particular activity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're not going to, the DEA and the Department of Justice aren't really going to have any places to turn if they want to go after these 32 states.
Mm. It's great news coming out of Washington, D.C. Hey, Rob, we got to wind it up. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show, and we'll be back in touch with more updates on what's happening there in Ohio. And go Buckeyes, I guess.
All right. And next time we talk, we'll talk about legalization.
Yeah, absolutely. Legalization coming soon to a state near you. Rob Ryan from Ohio Normal. Great guy. Check him out. An actual rocket scientist. If you want to know the government agency he worked for, it was NASA. Anyway, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we've got the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. My favorite, the cartoon pot dog. And then Kevin Sabet thinks legalization is all about the Benjamins, baby. I could use a few Benjamins. Let's see if we can make that happen. Stick around.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the activist radio station. You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Stop looking at me. I can stop smoking pot anytime I want.
Okay, how about right now?
Next week is better.
You disappoint me.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. At Royal Queen Seeds, we've got premium feminized cannabis seeds, including auto-flowering varieties for the medical cannabis user. We've got bulk shipments available and new CBD oil. Plus, we accept payment in Visa, MasterCard, and Bitcoin, as well as other methods. Check out our website at royalqueenseeds.com for more information. We are located in the Netherlands, and we have online grow experts ready to help you now at royalqueenseeds.com.
You can't handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning of the words, we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question, do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 53 and a half after the hour. And as more and more states legalize, it becomes tougher and tougher for poor little Kevin Sabet, the quarterback of the anti-legalization movement, to have a rallying cry for his followers to get behind. And, of course, marijuana legalization passed in Colorado and Washington, and they claim to have been caught by surprise, caught on their heels, according to this. But now they've had 2 years to prepare for another round of legalization, and we went 3 for 3. They completely struck out in all three places, Oregon, Alaska, and Washington, D.C., in halting the spread of marijuana legalization. And increasingly, every argument they thought that was a big winner argument has come to extinction now in the public's mind, thanks to the internet, thanks to people like Dr. Sanjay Gupta coming out and so forth. Originally, it was that marijuana, medical marijuana, was all faking. It was all just fake. Medical marijuana is a fake. It's not FDA approved. We haven't had any real studies on this. No real double blind placebo controlled clinical trials on this stuff. And then, of course, the Sanjay Gupta thing came out with medical CBD. People saw with their own damn two eyes a little girl who'd been seizing 100 times a day going to being a regular, playful, smiling little girl. And while some people complained it was a lot of tugging at heartstrings and ignored the plight of people that need THC, who maybe aren't as visibly sick as a little girl with seizures, it still had the earth-shattering effect of destroying that myth about medical marijuana, that it had nothing, that it was not medical in any way. Nobody believes that anymore. No one's buying that anymore. It used to be also, Kevin would pivot to, why would we need a third legal drug? Why should there be a third legal drug? We have enough trouble with alcohol. We have enough trouble with tobacco. But then people increasingly realize that marijuana is far safer than those other two things. And rather than adding a third legal drug, we're just recognizing that the third most popular drug is the safest one. It ought to be legal, and that people ought to have an alternative, another choice besides the two worst possible drugs for you. So that talking point has had to go out the window. And for a long time, Kevin Sabet would make the claims about the edibles and big marijuana. It's all about big marijuana marketing to your children. And of course, those kind of claims blew up in everyone's face when, after numerous reports of the Denver police warning parents about the marijuana-laced Halloween candy that we'd somehow give out for $10 or $15 a Chibachu, and instead a 2-cent Tootsie Roll would do just as well, for some reason we were going to go bankrupt poisoning the kids with the marijuana-laced Halloween edibles. And of course, not once did this happen throughout Halloweens all across the country, even in the medical states, even in the legal states. So now, Kevin has kind of positioned himself on this last pivot. And this last pivot is that the people behind legalization don't have the best of intentions. It's all about the Benjamins, baby. Here's the quote from his latest presentation. Quote, legalization is about one thing. It's not about medicine. It's not about getting people out of jail. It's not about ending the war on drugs. It's not even about allowing adults to use a little bit of marijuana in the privacy of their own home. It is about one thing, and that thing is money. End quote. Now, I could quote some people in marijuana law reform who behind the scenes told me we are blessed to have enemies like this. And good luck on trying to get the American public terrified of an industry that might make money and create jobs. Good luck with that. But to me, what I see in this statement is almost a statement of retreat, a statement of giving up, that he's no longer going to argue that it's not about medicine because everybody recognizes it is medicine. And people do recognize it's about getting people out of jail and ending the war on drugs and allowing adults to use a little bit of marijuana in the privacy of their own home. So Kevin has to deflect all of these things that even now he has to admit are true and pin it on the intent or the ulterior motives, not the veracity of whether or not those things are true or not, whether or not marijuana is medicine or putting people in jail is wrong or adults should be able to use in the privacy of their home. That's not even up for discussion anymore. It's whether or not the people pushing legalization have that as their best intention. Or are they really just using that to make a whole bunch of money? And hey, I hope they are, because I'd like to see a whole bunch of that money flow this away. let's have an industry in America that creates something, creates jobs, enhances our tax revenue, and indirectly helps to reduce our carbon emissions. Less growing indoors, more growing outdoors, more pot plants sucking in CO2. And don't even get started on industrial hemp and how much that's going to help our environment and our economy. So yeah, Kevin, pivot to the big bad economic monster that's being created. That'll go far. Hey, folks, that's all the time we got for Hour 1, but stay tuned. Hour 2 is next. Toker Talk Radio, we take your calls and suggestions on our chat room and at 971-533-7111. For everyone here at the Russ Belville Show, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it.